Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 374. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways how you can receive one at the end of the program. It's absolutely free, and its postage and handling is free as well. We have some singing. We've got Jack Holcomb ready right now to sing for you. Then we also have the continuation of that negative letter that was sent to me. Because I like that, you know, the Bible tells us to break down everything and to answer our adversaries. We're not to just let people run over us or tell things about us that are false without answering them, because people will start believing them if we don't let them come on the air here. And after all, there is fairness, you know, equal time situation type thing. And we got some Bible reading as well. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life, for immortality. Lord, you take people that are on top of the world and put them down on a dunghill, and you raise the person up that's on the dunghill and put them on a high mountain. You make alive and you kill. You are a God of love, and yet you also hate. This is the true Bible, and people must pick it up because we're at the end of time, and they need to know who they're going to meet at the judgment bar. They need to know the real personality of you, Father, and I pray that you'll anoint me to the point to where people will know exactly what kind, lead, guide, and direct me in the Spirit, the Word of God, to show everyone exactly how you are so that they won't be surprised and saddened when they meet you in heaven at the judgment bar, God, and before they are slung into the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Lord, I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus that souls may be saved and the church strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have Jack Holcomb here for you to sing, Then Jesus Came.
Sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and he shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bid his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's heart, it's broken. When Jesus comes, all sin is wiped away. He takes the good and he fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself. When Jesus comes, the tempter's heart is broken. When Jesus comes, all sin is breaks the gloom and he kills the light with glory. All is changed when Jesus comes.
Praise the Lord. That was Jack Holcomb, and it's a very true. One night out in Studio City on the hillside, and it really is like North Hollywood, Studio City. It was late in the evening, maybe even 1, 2 in the morning or 3, and I couldn't sleep. Susie was sound asleep next to me. That's my late wife, Susie. And the woman I loved more than anything in the entire world, had never really loved anybody until her. And I saw this vapor come into the room, and it was like a stick in the midst of the air, right? Almost, if I stood up, it would be eye level. And it fanned out with a noise like a hissing sound into an oval-shaped mirror. And I saw Jesus there, and I thought, whenever I would see Jesus, that I would be scared to death. But I was so happy. My soul in me didn't realize, my flesh didn't realize what my soul would feel like when I saw him. And when I saw him, I said, Lord. And I did not give one thought to the wife that I love so much. It just, like all cares, just fled away. I was not concerned about anything or anybody or wanting to stay in this world. I thought he was going to take me, and I spread my arms open and said, Lord, everything, every worldly thing just left my mind, because I'd already been saved. I'd been saved for about 3 years at that time, 2 or 3 years. I can't even remember. I don't write dates down or anything like that. But it is true what Jack Holcomb was saying, all cares. And I thought for sure, you know, I'd miss this person. You don't even think of anybody here on earth. That's why if you're saved, if you're going to heaven, the greatest joy that you'll ever have in your life is when you see Jesus. And I believe that for sure, that he appears to everybody, just every born-again Christian, just before you leave this temporal world, you leave your temporal body, and you just smile, and you're the happiest that you've ever been in your life. And the thing that was the greatest disappointment in my entire life is when he told me, you can't, no, not now. He says, you can't come. And he put his hand up, and I could see there were no nail-pierced hands there, because everything is perfect in heaven. There's no scars, no battle scars. There's no ugliness in heaven. Yeah, you know, a lot of people get it into their head that they're ugly, but you will not be in heaven. If you've kept the commandments of the Lord, you'll be perfect, and you'll be exceedingly happy as to the way you look. Okay, and that song is so good because, you know, all cares are wiped away when Jesus comes to stay. And he told me, no, not right now. I won't be able to go now, because he had something for me to do. And this is going back almost 40 years ago, 39 or 40 years ago. And yes, the Lord has had a word for me to do. And because everybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. They're going to be degraded. They're going to suffer persecution and tribulations and trials, everything under the sun. And it's the Lord is, you know, testing us to see if we are worthy of going to heaven. If we are going to spit on this earth, to think of it as nothing, and the things that are here, enough to deserve to go to the kingdom of heaven. Some people, some false ministers will tell you something other than that, but I've been through the experience, friends. I have the experience, and there's no better teacher than that. after that experience of seeing Jesus, I've seen a lot of visions. I've seen heaven and hell and a lot of other visions. I've seen where Sue and I were to be married. Susie saw the same thing, all in the same day. And I know that there's just nothing like seeing Jesus, because, you know, at the end of the line, when you are judged for the things that you did, the work that you did in your body, by putting Satan down, putting the world down, putting the cares of this world down, if you've done that, well, then you'll be so pleasantly happy when the Lord appears to you and says, okay, come on in, my good and faithful servant. And it's just like a twinkling of an eye. You don't even realize you'll be right in heaven, and there won't be a care in this world. You won't even remember if your loved ones didn't make it. You won't know it, because you're so enraptured and thrilled with being there and seeing everything there, that there's no sorrow in heaven. All there is joy and happiness. And if people want to give that up so that they can have their own ways in this world, well then, you know, to me that's spiritual stupidity, spiritual craziness. All the riches, all the reality, all the fullness of what Christ is, you will have in you forever and ever. Everything in this world, once he sees you like I see him, like I did, all of what Christ does, you'll do. You'll have all the things that he has, you'll have in you. And what he has will be in you, because you are one in Christ Jesus. You become like a flying saucer. He's in the middle of you, and you are the saucer, and he's the saucer within you. He's in your midst. He promises that he will, that he'll abide in us and we'll abide in him. And all of this is the Holy Spirit. Some people would say you don't need to keep rehearsing the teaching that is in you. But the Bible tells us that Christ is the Word of God, and that the way of life is the reproof of the Word of the Lord is the way of life. You have to have the knowledge of Christ, for sure, and you have to have it refreshed in you daily. But the main thing is, you need the way, the very experience of the Lord, and having seen the Lord, Jesus Christ's Spirit in you. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, the Apostle Paul would go to different places to try to preach. And he would not only try to preach, but he'd preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, didn't allow him to do it in sometimes. You wonder why the Spirit of Jesus instead of the Spirit of God. Verse 7. Of course, there is a reason. Reading chapter 16, you can then be able to see the environment of the entire chapter. All it is that we, the prisons, the persecutions, the stonings, and the even death, the spirit of a man with abundant strength of the Holy Spirit of God in him, for the purpose of being able to endure all sufferings, all character assassination, all sorts of beatings and stonings and imprisonments. You know, when people talk about me being an ex-con, I didn't do anything but keep the commandments of the Lord to get put in prison. Even today's judges and police officers and people that are federal marshals have told me that they know that I was railroaded into prison, because they knew they hid the books, records, and receipts on me, the most important ones, and therefore they made the jury believe that I was guilty. But, you know, I did it with a smile on my face, because I still have memorialized in my mind that the vision of Jesus that was telling me that you're not reading the word of the Lord enough, you're not reading my words. I'm talking to you, but you're not hearing me. And that was just a wonderful thing to be able to know that the Lord is in heaven, to have seen him. It's really something. And, you know, people that believe the Lord without having seen him are more blessed than I am. I've seen a lot of visions, dreams, and signs and wonders from the Lord. And I just wonder, you know, the Bible says, more blessed is he that has not seen things like that than the one that has seen them, because we're supposed to walk by faith. But the Lord gave me such an abundance of faith by seeing these things, because I absolutely did not believe in any human being, and I didn't believe that there was God, and God proved it to me without ever re-picking up the Bible at all. No, so I'm actually consumed and by the Lord, the process, Christ, you and God, the Spirit and the Bride. The Spirit of God is in me, in the midst of me, like the flying saucer. The Lord's in my midst, just like he has made us a kingdom. Those, all of us that are joined together, we are the kingdom of heaven, and he is walking about in our midst, inside of us. So you notice at the end of the book of Revelation, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. In other words, they're saying to everybody in the world, Catholics, Jews, everybody, come on. Come on to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no telling it. When you get saved, the Lord is liable to show you more visions than he's shown me. He's liable to do a bigger work than he has done with me. I've won a lot of souls. A lot of people say millions of souls. I don't keep track of that. I just keep preaching the word of God. But the Spirit, which is the Lord in our midst, and the Bride, which is us, says, come on to the Lord. Come on to the Lord. That we're preachers out here trying to get you together, speaking. So the Holy Spirit, the Bride, and also the Holy Spirit are speaking together. The Spirit and the Bride say together to the people of the world, come on. Get into the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. The universal, we are the universal couple, the Lord Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So ultimately, the Spirit is the consummation of the process, triune God. So we are filled with the Spirit, and of course, God is the Spirit, and so we're the ultimate. Ultimately, the Spirit is the consummation, where the Lord has consumed us and we've consumed him. The consummation of the process, triune God. This is consummation of the triune God. I mean, this is after his ascension. That is after he had then fully been processed. Now, God had to be processed in this world. He had to take all the slander. He had to be a jailbird, an ex-con. He had to be spat upon. He had to have his beard torn off. He had to be beaten for our healing beyond recognition. He had to be nailed to the cross. He had to be pierced in the side, sold for 30 pieces of silver. All these things Christ had to go through, and we're going to have to go through a lot, if we're really, really saved. If he's really operating in us and through us, if he's doing his work in us and through us, then we're going through a process, too, of human living with the Holy Spirit in us. This is after his ascension. This is after he had fully been processed. Such a Spirit speaks together with his Bride, and that is the universal couple, Jesus and me, God the Father, Jesus with his Father by the Spirit, and hopefully you and me. And it says that there's going to be, the Bible says that there's going to be millions of us united with the Lord as one unit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come on into the saucer with us, and you'll see that the Lord will give you a life that is more exciting and more full of surety and blessing. That's Revelation 22:17. Read it for yourself. So the process, when I say process, that means he came into the world as a man, a human flesh, to be processed and consummated. Triune God consummate the marriage. The triune God married to his redeemed, regenerated, and transformed tripart people. His, and that is what is his church, his bride. The conclusion of the entire 66 books of the Bible. A lot of people think it reveals that the process and that God marries the redeemed, regenerated, and transformed tripart bride of his. He belongs to us, and we belong to him. The human beings for his final manifestation. What does it mean to be consumed? Well, when a man gets married, they consummate the marriage by being in each other. He's in us and we're in him. And so that's what it means for us to be regenerated, to be consummated, transformed into the tripart bride of his. The human beings for his final manifestation and ultimate expression of in the glory for eternity. We're consumed, we're one with him. We've been consummated. It's just like the wheel is within the wheel. Revelations 21:1 and Revelations 22:5. You might wonder what the difference is between manifestation and expression. Speaking that is concealed can ultimately be manifested, uncovered, revealed, or disclosed. God was concealed as a mystery. But when Jesus came into the world, God in the flesh, he was God's manifestation. In other words, he manifested God to the human beings here. We didn't know anything about God. He was arbitrary. That's what God is what Jesus is. And his people are what Jesus is because they are consumed. We're married to him, and he's married to us. Then this manifestation has an issue. And this issue is the express God. God just issues out of us, and the God, the word that issues out of us, begets more children to become God's bride. The triune God will have, he'll have the New Jerusalem as his corporate manifestation. God wants to manifest himself in this world. And only if he's in us and we're in him will he be able to be manifested. So what you're doing is robbing God if you don't allow this to happen. God wants to manifest himself through us. And now, even through that manifestation, he will be expressed on a corporate basis. Not just one person out there like Moses was, but it'll be a corporate, one whole body like a flying saucer is not scattered all over the place. It's together with the Lord in its midst. He will be manifested corporately, not only in us in this world, but for eternity. And that's what the Lord wants. Okay, now we have a couple of testimonies here. Where's the first one from?
From Zambia, Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Pastor, first my greetings go to you, your family, and your ministries. I greet you all in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. I am hoping and trusting that the Almighty God is keeping you well. Back to me, I am well by the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to thank you, Pastor, for the wonderful work of the Lord you are doing for me and the church. May the Lord, our God of the Bible, richly and spiritually bless you and your family. I am always praying for you and the church. Pastor, I would like to thank you for the literature that I received for distribution, as well as the Bibles, T-shirts, and sweatshirts. May the Almighty God extend His hand of blessing on you. Pastor, I am requesting more Bibles, literature, T-shirts, sweatshirts, and taped messages. Pastor, because of your literature, which we are distributing, people are turning away from their bad ways and are following Jesus Christ. Me and my distributors are winning souls here, and I am planning to open another branch soon. Please pray for me. Best regards in Christ Jesus. Pastor Nasser from Zambia, Africa.
Okay, do we have another one?
Yes.
Where is it from?
From Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
Dear Tony Alamo, I agree with you about winning souls. Your life story is the same to date as me and my wife, Sue.
Okay, you're not just agreeing with me. I'm just agreeing with the Lord, and what you should be saying is that you agree with the Lord, too. I know that's what you're saying, but I just like to split hairs when it comes to the Word of God. Okay, and then what?
We have also been climbing a difficult ministry mountain, and your story was like what we experience. My wife is still alive. I pray the Lord is ministering to your loss. Your story has helped me and my wife realize it is in prayer together that we will continue to climb. Pastor C.J. from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay, so in the book of Jeremiah, we could get into that book. It's a long book. It's chapter 19, verse 6. So beware, for the time is coming, the Lord says, and the Lord cannot lie. The Lord, when this place will no longer be called Tophath, T-O-P-H-E-T-H, or the Valley of the Son of Himon, but the Valley of Slaughter is what the Lord is going to call it. For I will upset the battle, not Mother Nature, but I, God brags, will upset the battle plans of Judah and Jerusalem, and let invading armies slaughter them. This is God's chosen people, so if he says that to them, and it really happened, that's history. The enemy will leave the dead bodies as food for the vultures and wild animals. Now, I'm just saying this because I want people to get used to the way that God is. If people won't receive his chastisement, well, then he will kill you. He brags about it. I will wipe Jerusalem from the face of the earth, making it a monument to their stupidity. All, in other words, they don't accept the Savior of the world. They don't accept his ways. So, you know, they're stupid, the Lord calls them. All who pass by will be appalled and will gasp at the destruction they see there. Not from Mother Nature, but from me. Now, verse 9, God says, I will see to it that your enemies lay siege to the city until all the food is gone. Then those trapped inside will have to eat their own sons and daughters and friends because they don't care anything about God's son. In other words, people think you can just thumb your nose at Jesus and that he'll let your sons and daughters go free. They will be driven to utter despair. Verse 10, as these men watch Jeremiah smash the jar you brought with you, verse 11, then say to them, quote, this is what the Lord Almighty says. This isn't Mother Nature. There's no such person. You idol worshippers keep listening to these newscasters saying, Mother Nature was rough to us today. Now, God is rough with you today if you're living an ungodly life. But you don't like that, so you think you're some kind of a big shot because you're living in a big house and driving a big car. God will smash your house and car and take everything away from you and set you on a dunghill. All this jar lies shattered. So I, not Mother Nature, will shatter the people of Judah and Jerusalem beyond all hope of repair. They will bury the bodies in Tophath, T-O-P-H-E-T-H, until there is no more room. Verse 12, this is what I, not Mother Nature, will do to this place and its people. So, you know, we have to get our head on straight. You know, we're not living, there's no such thing as Santa Claus people, and there's no such thing as the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny. God says, it's I. Tell them I sent you. I will do to this place and its people these things. Says the Lord, not Mother Nature, I will cause this city to become defiled like Tophath. Verse 13, yes, all the houses in Jerusalem, including the palace of Judah's kings, will become like Tophath. All the houses where you burned incense on the rooftops to your star gods, you idol worshippers, and when and where you drink offerings were poured out to your idols. The Lord doesn't like idols or these things being poured out to them. Okay, verse 14, when Jeremiah returned from Tophath, where he had delivered this message, and he stopped in front of the temple of the Lord, he said to the people there, verse 15, quote, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Quote, I will bring disaster upon this city, not Mother Nature. It wasn't Mother Nature that brought that disaster to New Orleans. It was God, because they openly flaunt witchcraft and idols and drink things offered unto idols. And it's surrounding towns. He's going to do this. He's going to bring disaster, just as I promised, the Lord says, because you have stubbornly refused to listen to me. Well, you're going to be crying out to the Lord, and he's not going to listen to you. Read the first chapter of Proverbs. That's what he says. So you can just do all kinds of things you want because you're a free moral agent, but it's not going to work. Chapter 20, Jeremiah and Pashur. Verse 1, now Pashur, son of Immer, the priest. Oh, you don't like to listen to those kind of words. Well, just it doesn't matter if his name was Tom and Joe. But just say, so now Tom and Joe, the priest in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard what Jeremiah was saying. Verse 2, so he arrested Jeremiah. And that's what the people today are doing, this government. They hear what I'm saying, and they want to arrest me. And they did arrest me on many times and made up stories about me. They know that they can't get by by saying, because he's a Christian. Because so many people say they're Christians, so they make up false stories on me and anyone else that they want to destroy, but they haven't destroyed me yet. So they heard what Jeremiah was saying, so he arrested Jeremiah. So he's also an ex-con, the prophet, and had him whipped and put in stocks at the Benjamin Gate of the Lord's temple. Okay, so that goes to show how people say false things about you and accuse you of false things and actually whip you for doing what the Lord has said. He was warning them. And you want to know something? They did take every one of those Jews a captive. They came in and destroyed the city, just like Jeremiah said he would. And another thing is that anyone that would not willingly give themselves up to Nebuchadnezzar, they got run through with the sword. All right? So you cannot escape. When God says something, unless you repent, it's going to come to pass. And even if you don't repent, what he says is going to come to pass. He's not a wishy-washy God. And all the disasters that you see, whirlwinds and all this, are being brought by the Lord to try to humble people. He's creating an environment for them to put, hopefully, that they will lay down their lives, forget their old lives, and start becoming new in Christ Jesus. Well, anyway, we also have the remainder of a negative letter that was sent to me, and I'd like to let you hear it, and then I'd like to respond to it. Okay, one stage at a time. Go ahead. We've already done two of these. Now, this is the third time. It's the same letter. This is the one that wants everybody, if you wear glasses, sunglasses, and leather black coats, you're not of the Lord. And all you have to dress up and wear a tie. It's the outward appearance, they're saying, that will do you good. And then you will be a true minister of God if you just put on a suit and tie. Okay, well, let's hear what else this stupid person says.
In 1989, Tony Alamo fled the town called Saugus, California.
I'm not the fleeing type, okay? One time the Lord said, you've got 5 minutes to get out of here because they want to kill you. And that was over in Seattle. Or no, that was in Las Vegas, and then I went to Seattle. So I told everybody, just throw everything you got in a blanket on your bed, throw it in the back of the van or the car, and we've got 5 minutes, the Lord says, or we're going to be killed. So we did that, and we got out. Probably the cops that were watching that, we weren't doing anything wrong. I was just distributing literature, preaching the gospel like Jeremiah here, telling people what the Lord says. And so we got out of there, and sure enough, just minutes later, here comes a bunch of goon squad in there, and one of the people and his wife decided to stay. And they say that the man that was there looks like me, and they stuck a gun down his mouth, and his wife said, that's not Tony Alamo. That's not Tony Alamo. They've been trying to kill me, the Vatican, the world government, and the media, and to slander me for years. And here's this guy picked up on it and believed what the Antichrist said. So start from the top there again.
In 1989, Tony Alamo fled the town called Saugus, California, after he was charged with abusing an 11-year-old child in his ministry.
That I was accused of abusing somebody. I've never abused anybody in my life. And even though I do tell people to, if children get so unruly, this young boy was committing fornication with little girls in the church. I told him so that he doesn't go to hell, spank him. And that's what the Bible says to do. Now, the government doesn't want us to do that, and they're trying to make people look like criminals for spanking their children. And if you don't, spank them, or 99 times out of 100, we will just put a cease to their privileges. Just like I sent a whole bunch of them to the zoo the other day, and some of them, they saw signs, don't feed the animals and everything, and they were throwing branches in at them and everything. And so what I did, none of them got spanked. I just told the people, don't ever take those children again. The next field trip that comes up, that's it. And it's just too bad, too sad that the people of the world don't chasten their children, because the Lord even chastens those that he loves. If there's no chastisement, the Lord says, if you don't chasten your children, you don't love them. And so the government is making you not love your children by saying that you can't spank them. They knew we'd win that case, and that's why they dropped it. I didn't flee. I was at Mayor Bradley's office. There was a photo opportunity that I did with him. I gave him one of my jackets, the Los Angeles jacket. It was, pictures were taken. It was supposed to go in the newspaper. I was at the Jacob Javits Center openly. They're selling at my booth, selling the jackets and the shirts and everything that I manufactured and designed. And I was all over the place. I also had I was looking for real estate in Nashville, all over. I showed up everywhere. And so the newspapers told this man that, and he believed them. Okay, then what? That I fled. The mayor, they got a hold of him afterwards and says, they said, he's a fugitive from justice. And Mayor Bradley told him, I didn't know that. If I was a fugitive of justice, would I go to the mayor's office? And we were laughing and having a good time up there at City Hall, downtown Los Angeles, and there are many other things that I do. The only time I fled is when the Lord told me to get out of there. And, you know, if you'll see, the psalmist David did the same thing. And Jesus actually left them because he knew they were going to stone him to death. Now, this is the Almighty God living in a human body, and the Lord is living in my body also. And that's what these sinners, these utterly stupid people want to do, is kill the very ones that are bringing life to them. And then what Jeremiah said did come to pass. They went to be with prisoners of Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. They were there. Even the just people had to suffer with them. And you just people here in the United States, if you're so just, then you get out and start talking like I am. Otherwise, you're going into captivity, thus saith the Lord himself, as well. You're going into captivity as well, or you're going to be destroyed as well. God's going to send down such tribulations. We're going to go through some big tribulations. These antichrists only... they're like amateurs at tribulation. God's going to be sending hail down that'll weigh 100 pounds each. It'll absolutely devastate your houses. You won't be able to run inside the house anymore because you won't have a house. There's going to be a meteorite come down so powerful that the waves will be over 3,000 feet tall, and it'll rush over the land to where it goes inland 1,500 miles. Everybody in there is like the giant tsunami. People will be drowned and gasping just as they did when God first flooded the earth and killed everybody on earth because they were sinning so much and they wouldn't listen to him. And the Lord said, because you don't listen to me when you're howling and screaming for mercy, I won't listen to you, but I'll mock you and I will laugh at your calamity. And read that, the first chapter of Proverbs. Then what?
He eluded capture.
I eluded capture, did I? I see. There's no way that you can say that I'm operating out in the open right now, okay? Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to elude capture, I could have done that. I just could have stayed in the house all the time and moved into an apartment someplace or something. And the government knows that I wasn't eluding capture. I was operating a restaurant in Tampa, Florida, and I sponsored the police golf tournament, and they were wearing my the restaurant T-shirts because I sponsored them, and the name of the restaurant was Wild Child's. And so police officers were around me all day long. I was really eluding them, okay? Then what else?
Alamo had apparently ordered his members to paddle the child because of the child's transgressions.
No, I ordered them to, a lot of the things I say they don't obey, and they're going to be in trouble for it, but I do preach the Bible, which says to discipline your children, okay? Mm-hmm. And the reason that it isn't is the same reason why we had 33 people killed in a school the other day. These kids just get up and start murdering people because they've never been spanked. Okay? I didn't tell them to abuse any child. I would never do anything like that. And God doesn't call it abuse. He didn't say abuse your children. He said to spank them if they need it. And a kid like that, one that went and slaughtered, it was supposed to be a 20-year-old Oriental person, just yesterday went and wiped out 33 people in the school and then killed himself because he was more than likely never chastened in his life. The people in this country and the world are raising children as Dr. Spock has on his menu, not the Lord. And that's why you see all the trials and tribulations. And the government is fostering. They're showing them sex films in school and then giving them condoms. They want little kids to get pregnant, and which are, you know, a lot of them have become adults because they reach puberty. And they're wanting them to commit fornication so that they can for sure go to hell for that and for committing first-degree murder by aborting these children because they know they can't pay for them. They know they can't support them. And they forbid women to marry older men. Okay, but I certainly am not interested in any younger women. I have my wife and I have children. But I certainly would recommend that people do what the Lord says. And he says, yet let the young women marry and let them be married to somebody that can support them and the children. Okay, and then what else?
Los Angeles Times, April 15th.
Oh, yeah, that's like the Bible, right? The LA Times. How many times have they printed fallacy?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
April 15th, 1999 states that him and five of his followers were charged.
Yeah, we've been charged with everything. So is Jesus. He's even being charged today of having sex with Mary Magdalene. It's a dirty, filthy lie. And these networks are the ones that are saying it. Do you believe that garbage? If you do, you're going to wind up in hell. That's the Antichrist talking to you, kids.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
In 1991, Alamo's compound was raided.
I don't have a compound. You know, there's a lot of dirty, rotten things that can happen on a compound. And they use these buzzwords to just scare you to death of the Lord and the Lord's people. Compound. They live in a compound, not us. We have houses and apartments that we live in. Okay, and then what?
Alamo's compound was raided by federal marshals because of a civil lawsuit originally based on not paying his church members enough money for labor.
Now, do you believe that? What church do you go to that you're going to get a paycheck? You go to the Baptist church because you go there? And will they charge you? Can you charge them because you go to church? This is the federal government charging me money when I took people out of the streets, built them a home, and even gave the home to them, fed, clothed, and housed them every day, and also paid for their children and their clothing, everything. If they have a disease, their eyeglasses, their teeth, their teeth are rotting out of their head from drugs. And now the government wanted me to pay a paycheck. Well, we went to court on that one, and finally I proved that we were paying them way more than minimum wage scale because it was by the different benefits that they received from the church. They figured that we were paying them. Here they were broke when they came to the church, and they all had like four or five pair of boots from the Alamo in Nashville. These are all expensive boots and clothes and everything. They said that we were paying them around $4,000 to $5,000 a month, plus room and board and everything. So, I mean, yes, they were trying to get me to pay. I'll go to church if you pay me. Yeah, that's what they're trying to say. This is the first time in history anybody has been commanded to pay people for going to your church. Like, I'm paying them to go to church. That wouldn't be a true conversion. I would never pay anybody to go to church. But if they prove themselves that they definitely want to serve the Lord, I will support them. They will never miss meals. I paid for their utilities, everything, and they've given him cars to drive and all that. They said we're giving him way over $5,000 a month. And so they finally said, okay, you can pay with benefits. Okay, and then what else?
Working in his clothing business, and at the same
time... My clothing business? They were all... Everything that we made in the clothing business was given to them and to the get the gospel out. That's all. It wasn't mine. I consider it the Lord's. That's why they closed it. If it wasn't the Lord's, they would have never closed it in the first place. But these, you know, the Lord gave, the Lord let them take it away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. It didn't bother me. It's just less work. Okay, then what?
At the same time, he was getting ready to go to court because of federal tax evasion.
That never happened. I never evaded taxes. First of all, we were tax exempt, but I paid taxes, and everyone in the church did as well. Then what else?
The IRS claimed that him and his wife, Susan, owed $10.2 million in back taxes.
At that point, we hadn't even taken in $1 million, and every cent of it was spent for the people in the church. The IRS makes all kinds of claims. There was an outbreak of that around 10 years ago where it showed everybody how the IRS was lying about everybody. The IRS is a Vatican organization. They are taking your tax dollars and blowing different countries up and then taking hundreds of billions of dollars into those countries to rebuild them. Is that what you want done with your tax dollars? That's why Jeffrey Dixon, my attorney, wrote a whole book on it. There's a lot of people that know that they're spending money. There's so much waste in the prison system and in the Army, Navy, and Marines that it's so much waste that it's nauseating for even the prisoners to see. They just throw hundreds of thousands, millions of tons of food away when they're starving people that would love to have it. Then what?
Convicted in 1994 and served a six-year prison sentence.
I did not serve 6 years. I served 4 years. I got a six-year sentence. But for good behavior, I got out in a half year at a halfway house, which I was allowed to go home during the day. Okay, then what?
And later spent time in a halfway house in Texarkana, Arkansas.
Later, it was immediately after the 4 years. Okay, then what else?
In Tony Loma's latest radio interview, he is talking about Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, I do, because Adolf Hitler said that the United Nations were sucking up all the juice of the of Germany, so he pulled out and they started prospering, because that's what they're doing, is they're using up our manpower and everything. My time is up. I wish I could just keep going on. We'll continue the rest of this. There isn't much anyway, is there?
No.
Okay, how much more?
Two very short paragraphs.
Okay, well, they're not short enough to discontinue. So those of you that want to get out of this lying world and to be able to sit in heavenly places with the Lord, the first step is to just talk to the Lord. And, you know, just as Paul did from his jail cell, and just as Jesus did from his jail cell, and they... just as Jeremiah did from his jail cell, and Isaiah, and all the prophets, and all the disciples, and millions of disciples have been burned to the stake by the Vatican, and these false accusers like this, who are nothing more than just distractions from the Vatican. All you need to do is to say this to the Lord. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now, just raise your hands up in the air and praise and thank the Lord. If you're driving, don't do that. Just pull over and do it and thank the Lord. This is the most important moment of your life, that the Lord entered into you and made you a new creature. And make sure you get baptized, fully submerged in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make sure you become baptized by the Holy Spirit also, because you'll have power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now here's Sharon to tell you how to get absolutely free, postage and handling free, a CD or a audio tape of program number 374. Go ahead, Sharon.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, this negative letter that you just heard was the same person that said we should get rid of all of our leather jackets, black ones especially, and your shades. Don't wear sunglasses anymore. Do you believe anybody that ignorant and stupid, or else he'll be like Jim Jones? Okay, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message in the Lord. Until then, this is Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song.